Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is July the 4th. And we are in Malachim Beis. We're in Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. We're up to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21. Yoshiyahu is king. He has turned around the country. He has gotten rid of all the Avodah Zarah, at least it appears he has. And last time we spoke about fulfilling the prophecy of Ido Hanavi that had been said hundreds of years before Yoshiyahu. Now, the part of this is read on, as I think I mentioned this to you already, part of this is read as the Haftorah of the second day of Pesach. So, as you'll see, because he is going to be involved right now in a special Karban Pesach. Vayitzav HaMelech es kol ha'am lemor, the king commanded all the nations, saying, Asu Pesach la'Hashem Elokeichem, make the Karban Pesach for Hashem your God, kakasuv al Sefer HaBris hazeh, like it says in this Sefer HaBris, in this Sefer Torah. Ki lo na'asa ka Pesach hazeh, because it was not done like this Karban Pesach, from the days of the Shoftim that they judged Yisrael, and all the days of the kings of Yisrael and the kings of Yehuda. For only in the 18th year of the king Yoshiyahu, this Pesach was done to Hashem Yerushalayim. A special Karban Pesach was done. It's the regular mitzvah of Karban Pesach, but it was done in a way that had not been done all the way back since the days of the Shoftim and before. Now, there are those who want to argue that what was so special about this Karban Pesach. So, we mentioned last time that Yoshiyahu ended up ruling over all of the Bnei Yisrael, because Yirmiyahu went and brought back members of the 10 tribes, not all of them, but some of them, and there was no split in the kingdom, and Yoshiyahu was the king over all Jews. So that certainly had not happened since before Yeravam ben Nevat split the kingdom. That would explain why this Karban Pesach is more special than other Karbanos Pesach that had taken place for the past several hundred years. The problem is that won't explain why this Karban Pesach is any better than Karban Pesach done under Shlomo HaMelech, or under David HaMelech, or under the Shoftim, where there were also all of Klal Yisrael were together. And so Rashi in Divrei Hayamim offers a different approach to why this Karban Pesach was special. And in order to understand that, we're going to have to see the Pesukim in Divrei Hayamim. So we're going to hold off with that. But soon in Divrei Hayamim, we'll take a look over there and see what was so special about this Karban Pesach. Pasuk Chavdal, verse 24. V'gam es ha'ovos ves ha'yidonim ves ha'tirafim ves ha'gilulim, and also the various avodah zaras and those icons used for sorcery, Beis Kol HaShikutzim, and all the abominations, Asher Niru Be'eretz Yehuda V'Yerushalayim, that were seen, emphasis on the word seen, in the land of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, Be'er Yoshio destroyed. Be'er, when you destroy your chametz, you do Be'ur chametz, to burn it, destroy it. L'man Akimes Divrei HaTorah K'suvim Al Sefer, in order to establish the words of the Torah that were written on the Sefer, Asher Matzah Chilkiyo HaKoin Beis Hashem, that Chilkiyo the Kohen had found in the Beis HaMikdash. Yoshio made it his life's mission to make sure the entire Torah was being kept by everybody. And the Navi here testifies, V'chamahu lo haya lefanov melech, and before him there was no king like him, Asher shavel Hashem b'chol levavo v'chol nafsho v'chol me'odo, that returned to Hashem with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all of it, all he had, K'chol Torah Moshe, like all the Torah of Moshe, v'acharav, and after him, lo kam kamahu, no king came up like him. Yoshio has the distinction of being the king that stands for tshuva, more than any other king. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, don't make a mistake and think that Yoshio had been a sinner. He was not a sinner, but until this time, till Chilkiyahu found the Sefer Torah, they weren't aware of all the bad that was going on, that the country had been in such terrible straits, and they weren't fully aware of all of how bad things were. And then when the Sefer Torah was found, it galvanized everybody, and Yoshio made it his mission to turn the entire country around. So Yoshio stands for tshuva. The entire country is being healed from the terrible rule, the rules of Menashe and of Amon. Menashe and Amon, the two kings who preceded Yoshio. However, ach, lo shav Hashem echaron apo hagadol, Hashem did not return from his great anger, asher chara apo b'Yehuda, that he was angry with Yehuda, al kol ha-ke'asim asher hichiso Menashe, on all the angers that Menashe had angered him. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, Gamas Yehuda asir me'al panai, also Yehuda I will remove from upon my face. Kasher asirosi es Yisrael, like I removed Yisrael, meaning the 10 tribes. Umo'asti es ha'ir azos asher bachati es Yerushalayim, and I will despise this city that I had chosen, Yerushalayim. Vesabayis asher amarti, and the house that I had said, Yesh Misha, my name will be there. That unfortunately, all that Yoshio did will not stave off the Churban HaVayis, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. It's not going to happen in Yoshio's day, but it will happen in his son's day, as we will see. Not the next king. It's going to be not for another 1, 2, 3, 4 kings, but nevertheless it will be one of Yoshio's sons. V'yeser divrei Yoshio, and the rest of the words of Yoshio, v'chol asher asa, all that he did, halayim ksuvim al sefer divrayam l'malcha Yehuda, they are written in the chronicles of the kings of Yehuda. B'yamav, in his day, Allah faro necho, melech Mitzrayim, paro necho, the king of Mitzrayim came up, his name, the kings of Mitzrayim were always called paro, this one is specifically named paro necho. Necho means lacking, lacking or diminished. It is because he was unable, he lost the use of one of his legs. He was unable to walk. We'll discuss that in a moment. So in his day, Paro Necho, the king of Israel, came up, Al Melech Ashur, against the king of Ashur of Assyria, Al Nahar Paras, on the river Paras, Vayelech HaMelech Yoshio Likraso, and the king Yoshio went to greet him, to greet Paro Necho, Vayimisehu b'Megiddo, and he, Paro Necho, killed Yoshio in Megiddo, Kiroso or so when he saw him. You read this, it sounds like Yoshio went to say hello and Paro Necho killed him. But that's not what happened. We'll see. Vayarkivuhu avadav meis mi-Megiddo, and his servants rode him in his chariot, dead, from Megiddo. Vayiviyuhu Yerushalayim, and they brought him to Yerushalayim. Vayikbiruhu bikvuraso, and they buried him in his burial place. Vayikach am haaretz es Yehoachaz ben Yoshio, and the people of the land took Yehoachaz, the son of Yoshio, vayimshichu oso, and they anointed him. Vayamlichu oso tachas aviv, and they crowned him king in the place of his father. Yoshio had 3 sons. Yehoachaz is son number 2, and they crowned him as king.
Why did he merit such a violent death, considering
how Yeah. That's what we have to talk about. We talk about the violent death, and also we have to talk about why he went to greet Paro Necho. Who is Paro Necho? So we have several things to cover over here. Paro Necho is named that because Paro Necho got a hold of, at one point he conquered or he defeated Eretz Yisrael in battle. Implication is it happened before this story. And when he, it could have been this story because he did take a lot of tribute, as we'll see in Divrei Yamim. When he did so, one of the things that he took with him to Mitzrayim, that he took back, was a very coveted item that people wanted. And that is the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. Paro Necho desperately wanted the special throne of Shlomo HaMelech. We learned about the throne of Shlomo HaMelech way back in the beginning of Malachim. And this throne had six steps, I believe, going up to the throne. And at each step, there were various animals made of gold. There were lions. There were eagles. There were various animals. These animals were animated. Whether it was done through a nace, whether it was done through the chachma of Shlomo, whatever it was, but these animals were animated. And they would lift Shlomo from one step to the next as he ascended his throne. They also acted as bodyguards for Shlomo. If someone would want to somehow attack Shlomo, they couldn't get past these animals that flanked his throne. Paro Necho had this throne transported to Mitzrayim. And when it was in Mitzrayim, Paro Necho attempted to ascend the throne because he felt that now he could replace the great Shlomo HaMelech. It was a very bad decision on Paro Necho's part. And as soon as he attempted to ascend the throne, one of the lions attacked him and mutilated his leg. And therefore he could no longer walk for the rest of his life. And therefore he is known as Paro Necho. He is that's the suffix to his name is the diminished or the subtracted Paro. That's who he is. That's Paro Necho. Now, he's mentioned in several places in Tanakh. This is one of the places where he's mentioned. And he's the one who kills Yoshiyahu. It's important to note that the Pasuk tells us that he, in Pasuk Chavtes verse 29, it says that Paro Necho, the king of Mitzrayim, went against the king of Ashur on the river Paras. That's on the Euphrates River. I didn't bring my map with me. I should have brought it with me, but I didn't bring my map. So now, if you are facing the Middle East, and the Middle East is in front of me, so Eretz Yisrael, as you know, is on the Mediterranean, and we'll put that in the middle of the map. So southwest of Eretz Yisrael is where Mitzrayim is. If you would hug the Mediterranean coast, you'd end up on the first in Gaza or Eretz Plishtim, and then in Eretz Yisrael. So that's where Mitzrayim is, southwest of Eretz Yisrael. The Euphrates River, Nahar Paras, is northeast of Eretz Yisrael, flowing from the northern area above Eretz Yisrael. First it flows a little bit northeast, but then it flows southeast down into the Persian Gulf. That's the Euphrates River. If he fought with the king of Ashur on the Nahar Paras, on the river Paras, well, Melech Mitzrayim is down here. So he has to take his army and he has to somehow get to where the Euphrates River is, which is where Ashur is. Assyria is up in the northeastern section beyond Eretz Yisrael on the river Paras. So how does he get from Mitzrayim to Nahar Paras? And the answer is, he has to travel through Eretz Yisrael. Now, he could have gone around. It would have been a much longer trip. He has a whole army, supply lines. It's not the most strategic thing to do. And therefore, Paro Necho traveled through Eretz Yisrael to get to Nahar Paras in order to have a war with Melech Ashur. It is during this journey that he's traveling through Eretz Yisrael that Yoshio goes to greet him, and Paro Necho kills him. Megiddo is in Eretz Yisrael. He kills him in Eretz Yisrael when Yoshio goes to greet him. But that still doesn't tell the whole story. Why did he go to greet him? Why did he kill him? So we're going to see about that momentarily. Yoshiyahu was the king of Teshuvah, which means that there was potential in Yoshiyahu's day for the country to completely turn itself around and actually undo all the bad of Menashe and of Ammon, and thereby Hashem would have revoked the gzeira, the decree to destroy Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash would have continued. That's what could have happened. It didn't. For all the tshuva that Yoshiyahu did, it did not stop the destruction. We have to see why. Why did it not stop the destruction as is being mentioned over here? So that's something else which we'll find out more about in Divrei HaYamim. And as I mentioned to you, we have to see why was this Karban Pesach in the 18th year of Yoshiyahu so special. In Divrei HaYamim, it's Divrei HaYamim Beis, and it is Perek Lamed He, chapter 35. I will read it. Vayas Yoshiyahu b'Yerushalayim Pesach LaHashem. Yoshiyahu did a Pesach to Hashem in Yerushalayim. Vayishchatu haPesach b'Arba'a Asar LaChodesh HaRishon. They started the Pesach on the 14th of the first month. Vayamed haKohanim al mishmerosam, and he stood the Kohanim on their places, where they work. Vayechaz came, and he strengthened them. Avodas Beis Hashem, for the service of the house of Hashem. Here we have a very important pasuk. Vayomer laLevim, and he said to the Levim, haMevinim lechol Yisrael haKedoshim laHashem, that were known to all Yisrael, those who were sanctified to Hashem. Tenu es Aron HaKodesh Babayis, put the Aron HaKodesh, the Ark, in the house Asher Bana Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael, that Shlomo Melech built as the king of Israel. Put it in the Bayis. Ein lachem masav hakasef, you no longer have the carrying of the shoulder. Ata now, ivdu es Hashem Elokeichem, serve Hashem your God, ve'es amo Yisrael, and his nation Yisrael. This is a perplexing pasuk. After all, what do you mean, put the Aron in the house of Hashem? Where was the Aron to begin with? Isn't the Aron always in the house of Hashem? Isn't it always in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? What would they be doing with the Aron? And what does it mean you're no longer going to carry on the shoulder and now serve Hashem? They weren't serving Hashem until now? Chazal tell us, remember that when Chilkiyahu, the Kohen Gadol, found the Sefer Torah, what shocked everybody was the pasuk that the Sefer Torah was open to. And it was the pasuk of Yolech Hashem, Oscha v'esmalkach asher takim alecha, Hashem will take you and the king that you put upon you, El Am asher lo yadat, they'll take you to a foreign nation, you're going to go into Golos. It was in that pasuk of the Tochacha that Hashem is going to take you and your king into Golos, into exile, because of all of your averos. When Yoshiyahu saw that pasuk and read it, he understood that he needed to do tshuva and have all of Klal Yisrael do tshuva, which is what he did. At the same time, Yoshiyahu knew that he had to account for the contingency that the tshuva would not be enough, which in the end it was not enough. And Yoshiyahu therefore did a very courageous thing, which is very, very significant. He hid the Aron HaKodesh. From his day on, the Aron was no longer known where it was for the Bnei Yisrael. It was removed from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it was hidden away. In the second Beis HaMikdash, they did not have the Aron HaKodesh. They had the Evan Shesir, they had the stone, but they did not have the Aron HaKodesh. When it says in the second Beis HaMikdash that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would go and stand between the Badim, between the poles of the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he would sprinkle the blood and he would do the Ketores, the Gemara says it does not literally mean he would stand between the poles. He would stand in the place which would have been between the poles had there been poles, had there been an Aron. But there was no Aron in the second Beis HaMikdash. The Aron, where was it hidden? Where was it hidden? Contrary to Hollywood's depiction of where the Aron might have been hidden or where it went, the Aron was hidden in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah tells us that one of the chambers of the Beis HaMikdash in the ground is where the Aron was hidden. Nobody knew exactly where it was. A story is told during the second Beis HaMikdash where one of the Kohanim was in that chamber. It was the chamber where the Kohanim who were Baalei Mumin, who had a blemish, were unable to work in the Beis HaMikdash. where they would go through the wood and remove all the wood that had any kind of rot or worminess to it, and it had, that way they would only have the good wood for the Mizbeach. And he noticed that one of the stones in the floor looked a little bit like it was not the same as the rest. And he went to tell his fellow Kohanim. And before he had a chance to say anything, he died. And the Kohanim therefore understood that the Aron must be hidden in that floor. And that's why Hashem did not want that revealed, and that's why he died before he could say anything. Somewhere in the current Temple Mount, somewhere over there, the Aron is hidden. That's what it means over here when he said to the Levim, take the Aron of Hashem, the Aron HaKodesh, and place it in the bayis that Shlomo Melech built. It does not mean place it in the Kodesh Kadoshim. They were taking it out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But place it, hide it, put it in Geniza, in the Beis HaMikdash. And that is where it has been since the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. That's where it's been. It has not been disturbed. That is where it is. And Mitzvah Hashem, we will get it back when Mashiach comes. Along with the Aron were hidden four other things that were kept in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Aron. There were four items in addition to the Kodesh to the Aron. When I say the Aron, I mean the Aron, the Kaporis with the Kruvim, and the poles. That's all one item. But there were four other items that were in the Kodesh HaKadoshim that were also hidden away with the Aron, which I presume we will also get back when Mashiach comes. One is the Tzinsenes HaMan. It's the flask of mun that was hidden away, that was kept in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Parshas Beshalach. When the mun is given, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu a specific commandment, take a flask of mun and put it next to the Aron. And it is to be kept there as a mishmeres, as a guarding and a zikaron to the Bnei Yisrael. They should remember that Hashem sustained us with mun, that ultimately all parnasa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the mun reminds us of. That was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim next to the Aron. When the Aron was hidden away, the Tzinsenes HaMan was also hidden away. The Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil, was also hidden away. Even though we learned at the end of what we read today in Malachim that Yoshio's son, Yehoachaz, was that his name? Yoshio's son Yehoachaz is going to be anointed. He is not anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, with the anointing oil, because that is also hidden away, along with the Aron and the Tzinsenes HaMan. The anointing oil was a special oil that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. It had 12 lug. What the volume of oil was. It was used to anoint the Kohanim, the Mishkan, and everything else. And the Gemara tells us that no matter how much was poured out of it, there were always 12 lug in this flask of Shemen HaMishcha. That it never got lower, it always had the same amount of oil in it, no matter how much was poured out of it. This Shemen HaMishcha was also kept in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was hidden away along with the Aron and the Tzinsenes HaMan. Another item that was hidden away was the mate of Aron. Mm-hmm. Aron's special staff that we learned about in Parashas Korach, that was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the other staffs of the other Nisim. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, whichever one flowers is the one that Hashem chose. And his staff flowered, and almonds grew from the matah. That matah, with its flowers, with its buds, with its almonds, which are all still there, they never fell off. It never rotted. It all stayed fresh. That matah was kept in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that too was hidden away with the Aron, with the Tzinsenes HaMan, with the Shemen HaMishcha. I presume we're going to get that back as well when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, when Mashiach comes. Finally, the last item, which is the fifth item that was hidden away, this one is interesting that it is not something you would have expected. It is the argaz, it is the chest that was used by the Plishtim, when the Plishtim were the when they were the only time the Aron ever was out of our control was in the days of Eli, when they fought and his sons Chafni and Pinchas, they took the Aron of Hashem, the real Aron with the Luchos, to war, and they lost that war, and the Plishtim got a hold of the Aron, and for a few months they had the Aron. They suffered terribly with the Aron, and they finally sent it back to Eretz Yisrael. When they sent it back, it was an unmanned.
It was a car driven by young oxen, without a person.
Yes, yes. I was going to say it was a driverless car. So they sent it back. When they sent it, they felt that if you're going to send back the Aron, you can't just send the Aron. You have to send. It has to be done properly, and therefore they sent it with a golden chest with different types of things on it, and they sent that. The Aron back with on this Argaz on this chest. That Argaz was kept with the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim as well. Kodesh HaKadoshim was getting a little crowded. Right? There's all these things. Kodesh HaKadoshim is a fairly large room, and that's all there is in it. There's nothing else, no other furniture. But these things were all in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they were all hidden away with the Aron at this time. So that's why he says to them, you're no longer going to carry on the shoulder, because it was the privilege of the Levim to carry the Aron on their shoulder whenever it had to be moved, whenever that would be. And here he says, you're going to hide it away. No longer will you perform that avodah. Therefore, you are available, you Levim, to serve Hashem and his nation, Yisrael. What does that mean, you're available? So you're available now to help with the more immediate task. What is the more immediate task? The Karban Pesach that we're about to do. That you're available to help the Kohanim and do those things that could be done by a non-Kohen. What could be done by a non-Kohen? The Shechita, slaughtering the Karban, could be done by a non-Kohen, as well as the skinning of the Karban Pesach after it is already shechted. Those things can be done by a non-Kohen. This is similar to what Chizkiyahu did in his day when he made the special Karban Pesach. He also enlisted the Levim to help the Kohanim. There weren't enough Kohanim to take care of all the Karbanos Pesach, and therefore he had the Levim help them out with those things that Levim could do. So as it says in Pasuk Dalid, V'achinu levei savoseichem kemachlikoseichem, you should establish yourselves according to your households, according to your divisions. Bichsav David Melech Yisrael, according to the writings of David, the king of Israel, uvemichtav Shlomo Beno, and the writings of Shlomo his son. V'imdu v'kodesh liflugos beis ha'avos, you should stand in the kodesh according to the divisions of the houses of your fathers. La'acheichem b'nei ha'am, to your brothers, the people of the nation. You should serve them. V'chalukas beis av ha'levim, and the divisions of the beis av for the levim. V'shachatu ha'pasach, you should slaughter the Karban Pesach. V'yizkadshu, and you should prepare yourselves. V'alchinu la'acheichem, and be ready for your brothers. La'asos kidvar Hashem b'yad Moshe, to do like the word of Hashem in the hands of Moshe. So the levim now are going to help the Kohanim. So what was so special about this Karban Pesach? Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Vayarem Yoshio livnei ha'am tzon kvasim uvnei izim hakol apsachim l'chol hanimtza. Yoshiyahu took from the king's animals for the people sheep and goats for the Pesach. L'mispar 30,000 sheep and goats. Ubakar shloshes halafim, and 3,000 cattle. Ela merchush hamelch, this came from the treasury of the king. Yoshiyahu provided people with a Karban Pesach. That, Rashi says, is what was special about this Karban Pesach that had never happened before. Before, there were, in the days of Shlomo Melech, David Melech, when all of Klal Yisrael were together for the Karban Pesach, but never had the Karban Pesach been provided by the palace. And here, the palace provided Karban Pesach. 30,000 sheep and goats, for those who didn't have. A Karban Pesach must be either a sheep or a goat. It cannot be a bull. But there were also 3,000 cattle that were used for the Karban Chagiga, that is brought sometimes along with the Karban Pesach. If there's a large group that is bringing the same Karban Pesach, then they bring a Karban Chagiga as well, so that the main meal will be eaten from the Karban Chagiga, so that they will be filled up before eating from the Karban Pesach. Because as you know, the Karban Pesach has to be eaten al hasova, after one is already satiated. It is dessert. It's not supposed to be the main meal. Where we eat the Afikoman today, really we're supposed to be eating the Karban Pesach for dessert. So that sometimes a Chagiga is brought as well, and therefore that also came from the house of the king. So that is what was special about this Karban Pesach. 30,000 animals is a lot of animals. It does not reflect the largest amount of Karbanos Pesach brought at one time. In the days of Shlomo HaMelech, where you had millions of Jews, all prosperous, all having to participate in a Karban Pesach, 30,000 just wouldn't be enough. If you think through the numbers, how many people could be participate in one Karban Pesach? One Karban Pesach, a sheep or a goat. Whoever participates has to eat a kezias. So let's, you know, how many kezasim of meat can you get out of one sheep or one goat? I don't know. But let's say 100. Let's say 100. So that would mean 30,000 sheep or goats would equal 3 million kezasim, 3 million people. But in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, there may have been more Jews than that. And therefore, 30,000 may not have done it. That's assuming a very large number of kezasim from the same animal, which I'm not sure that that's reasonable. I don't know what you can get out of a sheep or out of a goat. And therefore, this reflects the fact that there weren't that many Jews. The 10 tribes were really gone. It's only representation of the 10 tribes that were there at the time, but there wasn't the same large amount of Jewish people that you would have had in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. But nevertheless, the king provided the animals necessary for the Karban Pesach. And then it says, Pasuk Ches, verse 8, Vesarav lindava la'am, and his officers as a gift for the nation, la'kanim la'levim, herimu, they separated for the Kohanim and for the Levim, Chilkia uzacharia v'yechiel, Nigide Beis Elokim, Chilkia, Zechariah, and Yechiel, those were the leaders of the Beis HaMikdash, they were the Kohanim. La'Kohanim nasnu la'psachim, for the Kohanim they gave for the Psachim, Alpayim v'sheish me'os, 2,600. So evidently that's more Karbonos Pesach, I guess for the Kohanim, I'm not exactly sure that's what it sounds like. U'bakar shlosh me'os, and cattle 300. So for the Kohanim, perhaps for the Levim as well, 2,600 sheep and goats, and 300 cattle. V'chananyahu u'shmayahu u'nesano echav v'chashavyahu v'yiel v'yozavad sari alevim. Oh, so I'm sorry. That first number was only for the Kohanim. So these people were the Levim. Heirimu la'levim la'psachim. They separated for the Levim, for the Psachim. Chamesha salafim, 5,000 for the Levim. U'bakar chamesh meos, and 500 cattle. So you had the number for all the Jews, 30,000, and then for the Kohanim, and then for the Levim. Vatikono avodah, and then the avodah was established. Vayamdu akonim alamdam valavim amachlekosam kmitzvah samelach. The Kohanim and Levim took their places according to the rule of the commandment of the king. Vayishchatu apasach, they started the Karban Pesach. Vayizriku akonim miyadam, and the Kohanim did the zrika, they threw the blood on the mizbeach from their hands as they're supposed to. Valavim mapshitim, the Levim would skin the animals. Vayasiru ha'ola l'sitam l'miflagos l'veisavos l'mneha'am l'akriv v'ashem k'akasub v'sefer Moshe v'chein l'abakar. Okay, and it's going through what they did with the what they did with the Karban Pesach. They removed the parts that had been removed, and they burned those for Hashem, and as it says in this Sefer Moshe, and also for the Bakar. Vayavashlu HaPesach, and they roasted the Karban Pesach, bishul often means to boil, but in this context it means to roast, because you can't boil the Korban Pesach. Ba'esh and fire kamishpat, like the law. Va'kadoshim bishlu basiros uva'dvadim uva'tzelachos va'yoritz luchobreham. Okay, and that's how they prepared the various karbonos to be eaten. I'm going to skip ahead over here as it goes through the Korban Pesach and the singing of the Levim. Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17. Vayasu v'nei Yisrael nimtziim es haPesach b'Yisahi. The Jews who were there did the Pesach at that time. Ves chagamatzos shivas yom. Then they did the Yontif of Pesach for 7 days. V'lo nasav Pesach kamo b'Yisrael. So here the Divrei Hayom says the same thing as it says in Malachim, that no Pesach was done like this in Yisrael. Mimei Shmuel Hanavi, from the days of Shmuel Hanavi, v'chol malchei Yisrael, the kings of Yisrael, lo asu chaPesach asher asa Yoshio, they did not do like the Pesach that Yoshio did. V'akonim alavim v'chol Yehuda v'Yisrael animtza v'yosh v'yushalayim, and they all did this this carbon. Bishmone Esrei Shana L'Malchus Yoshio, in the 18th year of the king Yoshio, Masa HaPesach Hazeh. Okay. Acharei Kolzos, Pasuk Chav, verse 20. After all this, Asher Heichin Yoshio Es HaBayis, that Yoshio prepared the Beis HaMikdash, Allah Necho Melech Mitzrayim Lilachem Bechar Kimish Al Peras. Necho, the king of Mitzrayim, came up to make war in Karkimish, which is on the river Pras, by Yitzeli Kraso Yoshio, and Yoshio came out to greet him. After all this is in contrast to what happened with Chizkiyahu. After Chizkiyahu turned around the country, then Sanherev came against Chizkiyahu. We asked at the time, he did all these great things, why would Hashem make it that then a war starts? But we said at the time that it's just the opposite. It's because of what he did that therefore the stage was set for Milchemes Gog u'Magog and for Mashiach to come. And Chizkiyahu therefore was now ready to bring the ultimate Geula. But here, in contrast to what happened with Chizkiyahu, after all this, and Yoshua did all these great things, instead tragedy occurs. That Paronacho comes up and Yoshua goes to greet him. Now, when it says it goes to greet him, what it means is he went to stop him. Yoshio went to stop Paro Necho from coming up to Yerushalayim. Why did he want to stop him? Because the Pasuk says that when we are doing the right thing, when we are doing what's correct, it says, V'cherev lo savor ba'artzechem. The sword will not go through your land. The sword not going through your land, one might have thought would mean there won't be any wars, no one will attack you. But there are other psukim that say that. Therefore, Chazal explained, the sword will not go through your land means a cherev shel shalom. A peaceful sword will not go through your land, which means if you're doing the Ratzon Hashem, you're doing with the will of Hashem, then nobody will be able to go through your land with the sword, even peacefully. Now, with the sword does not mean they're armed. It means with this sword in order to wage war elsewhere. They will not be able to use your land as a portal to have a war. Even for an army to go through your land peacefully will not happen. Why is that a bracha? Because that is still disruptive. An army goes through your land, that still shows that you are subservient to that army. That the king of that army can say, I'm not fighting you, but I need to go through your land. The implication is, or else I will fight you. That's what the implication is. Mm-hmm. You need to listen to me, and I'm going to take my army through your land, whether you like it or not. I'm offering you to do it peacefully. That's what it means when an army goes through somebody else's land. And so Hashem says, if you're doing my will, then there will be no army that will go through your land with a sword. It won't happen. Yoshiyahu knew that they had done tshuva. Yoshiyahu knew that he had eradicated all of the Avodah Zarah from the land. And therefore, Yoshiyahu believed that there was no way that Paro Necho could take his army through Eretz Yisrael. And even though Parnacho had a huge and powerful army, Yoshio trusted in Hashem that the words of Moshe Rabbeinu of the Torah must be true. V'cherev lo savor ba'artzechem, no sword will go through your land. Yoshio had complete emunah and bitachon in Hashem that it must be that Parnacho will be stopped. Therefore he went to greet him. To greet him means he, Yoshio, came with an army to stop Paro Necho from going through Eretz Yisrael to the northeastern part of Eretz Yisrael to Paras in order to fight with Ashur. Unfortunately, Yoshiyahu did not know about the late Sonei Hador. A Leitz is a scorner, one who mocks. Mm-hmm. That's what a Leitz is. Mm-hmm. The late Sonei Hador were those who found ways of getting around Yoshiyahu's attempt to eradicate all of the Avodah Zarah from the land. Yoshiyahu had soldiers who went around and searched people's homes in order to make sure there was no Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, after all, can be done privately. And therefore, all homes were searched and Avodah Zarah was destroyed. This was not some form of a democracy, and you do as you wish, just don't hurt anybody else. If you worship Avodah Zarah, you are hurting everybody else. And therefore, Yoshio correctly sent soldiers, and they searched all the homes of all the Bnei Yisrael, and they got rid of every single shred of Avodah Zarah, or so they thought. What the late Sonei Hador did is they painted or drew on the back of the doors of their homes Avodah Zarah. And when the doors were opened, you couldn't see the Avodah Zarah. It's more than that. It's more than the doors were opened. If it was a double door, the Avodah Zarah went across the two doors. So if they're opened, if you'd see the design on one side or the other side, you wouldn't realize that it is actually the design of Avodah Zarah, because you wouldn't be able to tell till the two doors were closed. And that is the way that they, when the soldiers came through looking for Avodah Zarah, they missed this Avodah Zarah that was there. And therefore, there were still people worshipping Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. They were the late Sonei Hador. The Piyut, which we'll talk about soon, says, Davak bo chet late Sonei Hador. It cleaved to him the sin of the scorners of the generation. Therefore, Yoshiyahu did not realize that the bracha, that no sword will go through your land, was not going to come true. And there would, therefore, be destruction. Yoshio went to stop Paro Necho. Pasuk Chafala, verse 21. Vayishlach elav malachim lemar. So Paro Necho sent messengers to Yoshio. Paro Necho had no interest in having a war with Yoshiyahu, and therefore he sent him a message. Mali valach melech Yehuda. What is it between me and you, the king of Yehuda? Lo alecha ata hayom ki al beis milchamti. I'm not coming against you today. I'm coming against my place of war. Velo, I think it's Velo Kim. I'm not sure if this is Hashem's name or not. Amar levahaleni. And either Elohim or Elohim, I'm not sure if it means Hashem or not, said to confound me or confuse me, meaning sending you against me. Chadalacha me Elohim. No, this is Elohim. Chadalacha me Elohim asherimi valyashchi secha. Move away from you, from the. I think it means from the Avodah Zarah that is with me, and it should not destroy you, meaning my deity will destroy you. Actually, I see that the discussion whether these two words Elohim are Kodesh, are they referring to Hashem, or are they referring to Avodah Zarah?
Like it's Hashem.
Yeah, I see the Radak says it's a machlokes. Yeah, it's a machlokes in the Gemara. And so let's he leans towards saying that it means kodesh, to mean Hashem's name. That he said that Paran Acho is invoking Hashem. Hashem wants me to do this. And why are you trying to stop it? You'll be destroyed. Pazakov Beis, verse 22. V'val heisav Yoshio fanav mimenu. Yoshio did not turn his face from him. Ki leilachem bo hischapes. Because to fight with him he sought out. V'lo shamal divrei necho mipi alokim. He did not listen to the words of necho from the mouth of Hashem. V'yavo leilachem bevikas Megiddo. He went to fight in the valley of Megiddo. V'yoru hayorim lamelech Yoshio. The archers shot against the king Yoshiohu. And the king said to his servants, "Haviruni, remove me from here, ki echalesi meod, because I am very sick." The Gemara tells us, what does it mean he was very sick? It means that he was hit by so many arrows, he was like a kivara, like a sieve. He was kamatara lachet, he was like the target for the arrows. In the piyut it says that 300 arrows hit him. That could be an exaggeration, but it means that he was hit multiple times, and he was therefore bleeding profusely. Chavdal 24, Vayiviruhu avadav min amerkava. The servants removed him from the chariot. Vayirkivuhu al rechav hamishnah shalo. They rode him on his secondary chariot. We were able to get away faster. Vayolichuhu Yerushalayim. They brought him to Yerushalayim. Vayomus, and he died. Vayikaver bekivros avosav, and he was buried in the burial plots of his ancestors. Vachol Yehuda v'Yerushalayim misablim al Yoshio, and all of Yehuda and all of Yerushalayim were in mourning over Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was destroyed because of the Leitzanei Hadar. Had the Leitzanei Hadar not did what they did, then Yoshiyahu would have lived. Had Yoshiyahu lived, the tshuva that was being done, had it continued, would have ultimately removed Hashem's anger, and the Beis HaMikdash would not have been destroyed. But because of the chet of the Leitzanei Hadar, therefore Yoshiyahu was killed, and therefore the tshuva process ended, and in the end, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed 22 years from this point. But we're not done yet, even though Yoshiyahu has died. We're not done with the complete story. As the next pasuk says, Vayikonein Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Yirmiyahu said a kina, said a lamentation on Yoshiyahu. And we are going to speak about this kina next week in Mirtzah Hashem. We'll speak about this kina that Yirmiyahu says about Yoshiyahu. In the kinos on Tisha B'Av, we have a special kina that begins Vayikonein Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. This story is such a sad story that it finds its place in the kinos of Tisha B'Av. And we will say it, if Mashiach does not come between now and Tisha B'Av, then on Tisha B'Av we will be saying this kina, Vayikonein Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Next week in Mirtzah Hashem, we will talk about this kina. We'll actually look in the kina itself, in the kinos of Tisha B'Av, so that we are aware of what we're saying, so that we know what we're saying on Tisha B'Av. And we will discuss, what was Yoshiyahu's mistake over here? So he didn't know about the Leitzanei Hadar, but that's not his fault. They deceived him. But we will see what mistake did Yoshiyahu make, and how does that turn out? Yoshiyahu, make no mistake, Yoshiyahu is remembered as a great tzaddik, and the greatest, we can call him Baal Tshuva, if you want to call him that, but the greatest person of, the greatest king of Tshuva, and also one of the greatest tragedies that takes place in Malchus Yehuda is the death of Yoshiyahu the king. So Mirtzah Hashem, next time we'll pick up from here, from Pasuk Chaf Hei in Divrei Hayamim, and we will also look at the kina of Tisha B'Av. If you want to bring in a kina, a kinos for Tisha B'Av, you can do so. I'll read it to you, but you can bring your own if you want to follow along. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it,
I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.